Gibbs, founder of Incandescent Public Relations, publisher of Being Incandescent Business Magazine, and your host for the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. We are here today at the beautiful Ritz-Carlton Hotel in downtown D.C. with two very powerful women. In fact, they lead Executive Women in Government. The Vice President, Shoshana Grove, is our cover story for the March 2013 issue of Be Incandescent magazine. And her colleague, Rita Jo Lewis, is the President of Executive Women in Government. And for the last 6 months, these two women have taken an organization that started 40 years ago during the Nixon administration and brought it into what is now an even more effective and powerful organization with so many more women in government. They know that their mission is important and valuable, and they're excited to see what they can come up with. And we're very excited to learn from them about their tips for how you can rise up in government and get involved if you're in the corporate sector. But first, let me introduce these two amazing women. Rita Jo Lewis is a federal leader with a wide-ranging experience in the private sector and in government. She's the president of EWG, as we said, and she brings years of experience to the position, including service as the vice president and counselor to the president at the United States Chamber of Commerce, the world's largest business federation. She also served as a policy expert on domestic and international issues affecting small business, and she worked in the Clinton White House from 1993 to 1995, and that is just the top of her resume. Shoshana Grove is the Vice President of Executive Women in Government, and by day she's the head of the Office of Secretary and Administration for the Postal Regulatory Commission, a position that she has been groomed for decades now. She actually started her career as a letter carrier here in DC. So we're excited to learn how she went from letter carrier to this top-ranking job. So now let's get to the meat of our conversation. We're asking you ladies for 10 tips for how you rise up through government. So let's start with you, Rita. What's tip number one?
You know, I would say tip number one is that I think that women, especially women, and just people, period, as you move around in the government from a professional development perspective, I think asking yourself a question on a regular basis is, what's your strategy? What's your plan? And then not only that, how are you implementing that plan? So what do you think?
I completely agree with you, Rita. I think that through one's career, you need to have both short-term and long-term planning goals. You need to be seeing where you want to be a year from now and where you want to be 3 and 5 years from now. And knowing what job that you're aspiring to, you need to prepare yourself through education, through volunteering on special projects, and through finding ways to achieve the capabilities that the potential hiring official will be looking for.
And tip number two?
You know, I think also it's very important to always look at making sure you have a multi-purpose network. And when I say multi-purpose, I think you have to understand who are the people that you are around on a regular basis, whether they're family, friends, and colleagues. But in a professional setting, it's really who are those trusted advisors and resources that are going to be there for you as you begin to move your career forward. People who you can go to who will give you the honest truth. And sometimes it may be difficult to hear about areas where a person may need improvement. But the only way that one can improve if you understand not only what you're good at, but also where you may have challenges that you need to develop additional skill sets in order to move. And so doing that, you're going to have a number of different people in your network to assist you in your development.
I agree, Rita. And one thing I would say, it is important to have a broad and flexible and diverse network. And not just, don't just call somebody when you need a favor, but make sure that you're there for people throughout. And always be helpful and always volunteer and help others out when you can, because when people come to see you as being a go-to person and a helper, then opportunities will arise out of that.
That's excellent. Talk a little bit about volunteering. Is it important to volunteer to expand your network in the government?
You know, I think volunteer can be looked at two ways. One, I often think that volunteering is excellent externally from your job, but also internally in what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, because oftentimes if different initiatives and projects or crises arise, the managers are always seeking additional assistance for people who have a different skill set and who also have the time in order to assist. But at the end of the day, you're all about developing your network and about developing additional resources, expanding and broadening your relationships. And people have a tendency to always remember people who in a crisis. And they know those individuals that have come to them to volunteer and go beyond the call of duty, because it's not always around 9 to 5. It's really sometimes it's the weekends, it's at night. And I think volunteering for those additional assignments, even when it's beyond your original work assignments, is also could be very important.
I could not agree more, Rita. Yeah, I think that the people who get ahead are definitely the people who go above and beyond and are willing to be flexible, to go outside of their job description and to be available early, late, whatever it takes to get the job done.
So for tip number 4, talk a little bit about moving around in the government. Yeah. Is it important to be flexible and be willing to move from agency to agency, or do most people just stick with one agency for their entire career track?
You know, I think a long time ago, people would stay in one place because that they just built a solid career there. And I have a great deal of respect for those individuals, because you know there's nothing like knowing an agency. But I think that in this new job market, people will have more demands are being placed on agencies and administrations, and they're also looking at different opportunities. And so I have often seen in the work that I've doing now at the State Department that people are moving around in their careers. They're going to some very challenging places. And I think people just can't be afraid no matter where they are. It doesn't matter what agency you're in. You've got to be willing to sometimes not just move within and around different agencies and bureaus, but also you might have to move to different countries.
Hmm. I agree with you, Rita. I know several times in my career I was stuck. I knew I was not going to be able to get any higher where I was, and then you just need to know to move somewhere else where you have, I think, Rita, as you put it, where you're in a promotable position.
And so how does that work? How do you finesse your way from one agency to another? Is it just the connections that you make?
You know, there's definitely several ways. One, of course, that's why we say you got to build networks, and you've got to build a multi-purpose network that you can have relationships where people can at least to give you the information about what things are coming up. But also, I think you've got to have networks within your career structure, whereby belonging to different organizations, and then not only just belonging, but attending and then participating and actually working. People have a tendency that they're going to want to give somebody information, especially about a job in maybe an agency of which they work, if they have worked alongside of them in a volunteer capacity, or if they've worked alongside of them as a member in another organization. And so I think that network is important. We all know the way with technology now, with Jobs USA, you know, it's out there. But you know, when you go on that internet site, we know that there are thousands of people that have already applied. So really, it boils down to making sure you do have a presentable resume that speaks to the jobs that you are seeking, but also you've got to be out there and market that. You have to be able to market yourself, and that's going to be beyond just, pressing send on Jobs USA and sending a resume in. You really got to get out and talk to people.
I agree, Rita, and I know frequently where if you're working in an agency, and I think even in the private sector, you may have colleagues who have moved on into other areas, and they frequently will be called in to give recommendations. So if you have a good reputation where you work, then when you go to apply for in a different sector, then people will give you that good recommendation and you will probably get in.
So tell us, what are some of the hottest growth markets in government? What, as you look ahead, what's coming? What's going to be really popular? Where are people hiring?
Well, first of all, I always tell young people that they do something well that a lot of us do not do, and that is the use of social media. That is it, that one of the hottest areas in terms of communications. For those individuals who understand how to use technology, how to use the new tools, that is always going to be, I think, for here on out, something that I'm always seeking. The younger people in my organization who come to work for me, they know that type of communication. They know those types of communication tools. They know how to use them. They know how to help us expand our message, to broaden our reach beyond where we are. They're always there to help us get our message out. I think one other area is going to be areas around innovation. There's a whole school of thought and work now around people who are doing in innovation work, and people are looking for those kinds of leaders who can be the thought leaders to help them re-engineer organizations.
Yes, I agree with that, and I know that Hope, you're working with some futurists, so that they probably have some interest in that. But I would say that since this is a truly amazing women episode, I think that any of the jobs, the STEM jobs, the science, technology, engineering, and math jobs are fantastic opportunities for women, and technology is definitely a sector that's growth in government. But I would also say that many employers are looking, as Rita said, for the basic skills. Someone who has a level head, is a good problem solver, has excellent communication skills with today's technology, can communicate articulately. Even a good liberal arts background can make you very successful in government.
And how about like cybersecurity and some of the other things that Homeland Security is involved in? Are those growth areas as well?
I think they're going to continue to be. I think cybersecurity areas are going to continue to be a growth industry, primarily because if we look around in this world with what's going on. In a 21st century world, I think cybersecurity areas of work are going to always continue to be very, very important. And as you just look around, you see so many organizations are continuing to hire, and you see the growth industry of how the United States itself plays so many agencies together, and a lot of that came out through some of that work. And so I think that there's a feel of growth there for a number of people, but also it's not just about from a technology perspective, but as Sho was saying, it's about every field of work within that work. And that's going to require people who have degrees from liberal arts to science, to technology, to math, for them to continue to fill those kinds of positions.
I agree.
We can edit that out.
And we were talking before when we were going over your tips list, and you said do your homework is tip number 6, because it's so important to know who you're talking to, what they do, why they do it, and how you can fit into their structure. So talk a little bit about the importance of doing your homework and specifically what that means from your position.
I would say specifically if you're going to see someone along the lines of whether you want to partner with them on a new initiative, whether you're seeking out them for your own professional development, or whether you're trying to market yourself for a new job. Now with technology, you know, you can open it up from your iPad, your iPhone, your computer, and know anything about what an organization is doing, or know about the interests of different people that you might be meeting or speaking with. With that, it is critical to, as you walk in, have the kind of conversation that is going to steer you to attempt to have you get to the results that you want. Either you're trying to get a partnership, a job, a meeting, a relationship. and the person that you're going to be talking with is going to be understand that you are a knowledgeable individual, that you are an individual that does their homework, that you are an individual that is not coming to talk to them about something that's a pie in the sky, but coming to talk to them about something that is relevant to their organization or to them.
I agree. I think the old adage, knowledge is power, and as Rita said, these days there is no reason why one cannot come into an interview being very knowledgeable about both the work and the goals of the organization that they're looking to either work for or partner with.
I find, especially in what I do, I like when people come in to an interview and ask me questions about why we've done what we've done. It shows me that they've really done research. And I'm always astonished that people want to have meetings with me and they haven't looked at any of the stuff we've done. And I think that, you know, that's a lesson to the wise. Check us out before you come in at the door. Number seven, talk is about teamwork. So what is it that in the government, it's so interconnected and these organizations have been around for decades and decades. So to reinvent the wheel doesn't always make sense. But talk about the teamwork issue and how that plays out in your fields.
You know, I think teamwork is very important. I see in every, especially in every government organization and even in a business organization, you know, people do not have a go-alone strategy. They really have a team. And when the old adage of saying there's no I in team, I think people mean it truthfully, because, you know, we may all be in these meetings, but that happen all day long. But at the end of the day, the reason the meetings happen is because people are each coming in on the team and making a contribution. And that is really what people are looking for, is who in the organization, inside of your team, your bureau, your agency that's making a contribution to the team effort of what it is that your administrator, your secretary, or your, and of course, what is the overall administration trying to do?
I agree. And I do think there's a little bit of a kind of like a sports analogy there, where you know that you could have a sports team with a star player or a couple star players and the team could not necessarily be successful. It's all about team cohesion. And government managers are looking for people who are able to work in a team environment. People who cannot thrive in that environment tend to be disruptive, and it does not lead toward a winning effort.
So it's all about teamwork, which is awesome. And in terms of teamwork, I think tip number eight is seeking advice from trusted resources in and out, inside and outside of the government, I would imagine. And that goes back to building your network and having a network that's vast and effective and cohesive, I would imagine, to a certain degree. So talk a little bit about that. How in your careers have you sought advice, and has it always been good advice? Have you really needed to vet that own advice for yourself? I mean, you worked for the Clinton administration, so that's very prestigious and very exciting, I'm sure. How did that take you from one place to the next, and how did you manage to get there?
You know, I've been really fortunate that I've been serving in a political capacity, first in the Clinton administration and now in President Obama's administration. And when you talk about how do you continue to seek out opportunities, I think it's all about being prepared with your professional background. It's about your work experience. It's about where have you developed relationships and resources with people who have a common interest as you try to, if you want to serve in it, you know, serve especially in a political administration. I think it's very important that people understand that the value of relationships is not someone who you can just show up, you know, meet someone today and think that it's going to take you to that next level. At the end of the day, it really is about developing the rapport of trusted people who trust you for the advice, who you can trust for the advice that they are going to, you know, provide to you. But more importantly, to always remember that, especially in Washington and even in government, you know, people do move around, but people also do remember. And so you've got to always remember to, as you are striving for the top, that this is a long-term
You have to have the long-term approach about your own professional development. It's not about a short-term. You can't do bad things to people and think that people are not going to remember them 10 years ago, or you think that people who will work with you won't remember. And so I think the vast majority of people are about developing long-term relationships, and that's really, I think, what's very important, because many people that I worked with, 15, 20 years ago, 30, are some of the same people that I'm enjoying working with today.
Yes, I agree with Rita. Building loyalty and trust is very important. And as people move around within government and in and out of the private sector, they will look to surround themselves with people who they know are loyal and who they have a trusted relationship with, and who are competent, of course. So it's important to build those relationships over a period of time. And your reputation, Rita said it, is very important. So that would be a good tip.
So always do put your best foot forward. Yeah. How did you two meet each other, speaking of building relationships?
When we were both elected, one of the things that we sat down, Shoshana and I sat down early on, along with the other board members and officers, to discuss where we wanted to, gauge their what they thought that other government women would be interested in terms of the development, the continued development of this organization. And so our relationship has come forth about just two people working together and understanding, how, as professional women, even though this is a volunteer organization, we're just, dealing with people who are just being very responsible. And so I think coming together as, two officers, we came to the organization as professionals who wanted to get the job done, who wanted to get results, and who wanted to give back and really continue to explore how we help other women. I think the mission of this organization that got started 40 years ago was all about the fact that, you could probably fit all the women in one room, and it would be a very small room. And now, 40 years later, we found that there are over 2,600 eligible women that can be in an organization like this. And so, our goal is to continue to grow. And I think Shoshana and I have that same type of a vision. We think the board and our officers have that same type of a vision. And we want to just continue along the lines of that spirit. And we know that it does require hard work. And long hours and after hours, but it's not something that we haven't done in our own regular jobs and that we continue to do, not only with Executive Women in Government, but with the other organizations that we participate in.
And before we launch into the last two tips, Shoshana, tell us a little bit about how you get to be eligible to be an Executive Women in Government.
To be an Executive Women in Government, you would need to be a senior executive service or equivalent, or an EAS 15, a presidential appointee, senator, congressman. I think I pretty much hit it, or equivalent. So it's the senior echelons of government.
Excellent. Well, that's very impressive. And speaking of finding your way up there, let's talk about these last two tips, which are basic interview and business growth tips for everyone in government and out of government. Tip number 9 is every day is an interview. And I'm going to start off with Shoshana, since this is your tip.
Well, I think it speaks for itself that, and I'm going to kind of speak off of what Rita said as well, which is that how you present yourself every day, you never know in whatever meeting you're in, whatever interaction you're in, when you're going to meet or forge or form a relationship that could be important to you later in life. And I'm losing my train of thought, so I'm going to turn it over to Rita. But that's, I would say, to take those opportunities to put your best foot forward every day in every possible way.
I agree with Shoshana. Every day is an interview, and I think all of us live that. every day that you never know who you're going to be coming in contact with. I always say you should be very careful all the time. You know, there are a lot of rules. You need to understand what the rules are. You need to understand who the people are. You need to understand where everyone fits in the organization. But understand too that the smallest person to the largest person can be helpful to you in your career. It doesn't really matter who it is. People have a tendency they want to, you know, not give the deference or the respect just because someone may not be at the same level that you are. But you know, you can just never tell. And what I say is that when you're in and out of government, the rules are the same, is that there's value in every individual, there's value in every relationship, and we should be trying to seek out that kind of value. And as women who are in positions of managerial responsibility, who are the senior executives, you know, for us, every day is an interview, because not only are we being interviewed, people are interviewing us. And so we have to always understand that, that you know, the executive women themselves are in leadership roles. And so in that capacity, you're constantly surrounded by your other colleagues at your own level. And so those individuals are sometimes, oftentimes, on the front lines of those organizations, and they're being sought after to move on to other upward mobility. And so it doesn't matter how high or high or where you are, you fit in the structure. It is that type of environment of which we're in.
Yes, it's true, very true for government and non-government organizations, I think. And this last tip is dress for success. So this is something that, you know, has been pounded into our heads for interview techniques. But talk a little bit about it from your point of view. What does that mean? What is appropriate attire when you want to work at the State Department or at the Postal Service? You know, men tend to have an easier time of it. Women have a little more choice. So tell us what you expect to see when someone comes in for an interview and also on the job.
You know, I always say that people see you before they hear you. And if you go back to the statistics, it tells you that people are looking at you before they even hear the words that come out of your mouth. And so people will generally get an impression. Now, is that bad? Yeah, because people might form the wrong impression just because, you know, you might not, you know, look a certain kind of way. But, you know, in these days and times, you know, it's the competition. And to be in a very competitive work environment, in a very competitive business environment, you know, you want to always make sure that you have an edge. And you should not let an appearance issue be one that does not allow you to move your career forward. Or if people are looking at things from a scale of a 1 to 10 and they have the ability to put another score on your paper, you do not want that score to be 0. You want it to be, you want to make sure you get that 1 if they're marking whatever it is that they're making that determination. Now, of course, you know, you can't discriminate against anyone. You can't, you know, hold anything against anyone. But I think when the book was written years ago, Dress for Success, I think the rules of the game still have not changed, unless you are in those kinds of environments where you can do a dress down or you can be a lot more casual. But even with that, you still have to be very careful about your total package, your total presentation, whether it is in words and in deeds and in appearance.
Well, that's perfect. Those 10 tips are very successful. We can't thank you both enough for your time. Rita Jo Lewis and Shoshana Grove with Executive Women in Government. Our cover story for the March issue of Be Incandescent magazine, Women in Power. So check it out online and on incandescentradio.com, where this podcast will go live March 1st. Thank you very much, ladies. We will talk to you both very soon. We wish you best of luck.
Thank you, Hope. Thank you.
So that's it for today's Incandescent Entrepreneur Show, where we always ask, what's your story? If you have a good one and would like to be interviewed on the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show, send me an email to hope@hopegibbs.com. Check back every Monday at noon for a new episode of the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, www.incandescentradio.com. We look forward to talking to you next week. Here's to your incredible, indelible success.